Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Alec Medford. Ruben Portillo is walking around with a menu so everybody can order. He wants to make sure everybody at Buffalo Wild Wings gets their order in today. That's what Ruben does. He takes care of people and their tummies. If you are out there right now and you want to text into the show and you're like, I can't make it to Burleson's Buffalo Wild Wings, but I want to be part of the show right now, go ahead and do that. If you're on your way, don't forget to sign up. They do have Cowboys ticket giveaway and Cowboys merchandise as well, so they're looking forward to that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're having some fun out here right now. We're talking some sports with everybody after in between breaks and everything, so it's a lot of fun there. But Alec, it is time to hit the, hey man, what's the game that has your mind, body, and soul today? Because there are some that I'm very intrigued by and some that I could totally do without. So Sunday might be a very weird day for me. But for you, where are you locking it in this weekend?
I mean, obviously, I'm listening on 105 through the Fan to the most generational quarterback matchup ever. It's going to be one of Cooper Rush and Trey Lance versus Marcus Mariota, more than likely. That's going to be amazing, right? No, absolutely not.
Wow.
Honestly, probably, I'd say halfway because I want to see Kevin Hagelin's heart get broken. But Bengals and Steelers.
Interesting.
I'm intrigued to see what happens there tomorrow at 7 o'clock because I still have no idea what to make of either team. And I know that there's playoff implications in this game as well. But I think it's going to be fun to just see the discourse immediately after the game for both teams' head coaches because I think Zach Taylor might be on his ninth life with the Bengals because of some in-game decision-making that has been kind of wonky, but at the same time, he's helping Joe Burrow. You know, if they had even one game over 500 to their name, he would be in the MVP conversation for this season. And then same for the Steelers. It seems like no matter what good Mike Tomlin does, the entire fan base wants him out. So if it ends up being really ugly against Cincinnati, then I think the conversations surrounding him are going to be really ugly. Is he going to go anywhere? Absolutely not. But I just want to—I want to see everybody kind of lose their minds for an off season, and I'm here for the chaos. So I think it's going to be fun.
We do have a Steelers fan in the house right now, and he is vehemently the right word, furious with you. So he's outraged by everything that you said about the Steelers.
I've done that a lot this
but
week.
But I'm totally with you on every single thing that you said there. So I got your back, Alec.
Let's go.
I'm fascinated by that game, too, because the Bengals are a wild story. Nobody really expected the Steelers to be good this year. Like,
nope.
You knew that the Steelers were going to give you – they got really strong defense. But you were like, what? It's a coin flip on their quarterback. And the fact that they've been able to have the record that they do with whatever their quarterback situation is just kind of continues to lend itself to the quality head coaching that is Mike Tomlin, the quality organization that is the Steelers. But, man, when it comes to the Bengals, I'm just such a fan of their receiver group. And Joe Burrow has already said, hey, if you're playing fantasy football, you might want to go ahead and start Ja'Marr Chase. I want to make sure that dude gets the triple crown for receiving, and that would be pretty awesome to see too. It's a special season from Joe Burrow. That's a game for sure on Saturday night that I think you're going to want to be locked in on for sure. Now, I do know that there are some college games in action today, 3 p.m. You do have UNT and Texas State. They're going at it. We got another Minnesota versus Virginia Tech. Those are going on today. That's 6:30 today on ESPN for both of those games. So that's nice to see. I think for this weekend, it's going to be Sunday night's game.
Yep.
And I still think it's wild how they close out the playoffs or the regular season on a Saturday and Sunday. I still think that's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah.
But having the Vikings and Lions in that 7:20 game, and that is a deciding game for playoff seeding. Like, that's both of them, two really good teams. I didn't want to believe the Vikings this year. And it's not because I think the Vikings are bad. I just didn't believe in Sam Darnold. And he has shown me all season long that he's a little bit grittier than I expected him to be. Whenever I was watching him at USC, I was like, all right, he's a dude who's not surrounded by the greatest talent. That's what I, whenever he was in college, I was like, he's not surrounded by the greatest talent. But even still, he will fumble away something. You know, there was always this, oh, man, he'd throw an interception at the wrong time or whatever it was. And then when he got to the Jets, I was like, well, that's just a lost cause. You know, you get to a bad place. He doesn't have good coaching. He's not necessarily a great player. He goes and then goes to Carolina. I'm like, that's the worst place he could have gone. Like, just landing in Carolina, another bad spot. But then he picks up with San Francisco, and he learns how to play the quarterback position. And that was a smart decision. I don't know if it was like him going, you know what, I need to go get a better education somewhere. But when he lands there with San Francisco, that's a great thing for him. And then getting Coach Kevin O'Connell up in Minnesota, perfect combination. Got the, you know, one of the best receivers in the game and Justin Jefferson. That's always nice, too. This combination, though, of what their defense is doing with the boogeyman against this Lions team, that's what's going to make this game a lot of fun on Sunday.
And I like that you brought up, one, the development of Sam Darnold, but two, the head coach that helped get him there. And Kevin O'Connell, because as one does whenever you're bored at night waiting for your sheets to dry, you go on TikTok and you start scrolling, and I saw a post from the NFL, and it was actually like a sounds from the sideline kind of bit for the Vikings. And it was, I want to say it was their last game against the Lions, where it was really close at the end. Sam Darnold was out there off of a TV timeout, so they had a little bit of extra time to talk to each other. And Kevin O'Connell gets in his helmet, and he was like, hey, man, you're doing great. Like, you're killing it right now. He used a lot of words I can't use on the radio, but he was like, you're doing a great job. Just keep control. He's like, I want you to go in this huddle before I tell you the play call and tell the guys, lock in. We got this. We are okay. He was like, and keep telling yourself that you are bleeping killing it. And I was like, that's the kind of coach that guys like Sam Darnold need. And that's why Kirk Cousins, before the Achilles injury, it's why he looks so good.
Yes.
And you guys have talked about it at length in the quarterback series where, you know, he needs – guys like Kirk Cousins and even Sam Darnold need to be reminded of how good they are. And they need to be reminded that they are doing a good job. They need that pat on the back that you hear about that some coaches say, you know, some of these guys need to be loved a little bit more. We've heard about it even like with the Cowboys with Mozzie Smith. Once he started getting loved a little bit more and they were kind of taking care of him to a bigger extent, then you started to see his play progress, and you saw him put the weight back on that he lost, and he's got a different demeanor to him. So the Vikings have all the right tools, and the fact that in 2025 now, one of these teams is going to end the season with 15 wins with Jared Goff and Sam Darnold as the starting quarterbacks. If you told me that 3 years ago, I would have said, hey, if that's like a crazy bet in Vegas, you can get like plus 5,000 odds on that, go for it. Sure, put $10 on it. And I would have laughed at you, kind of like Mickey laughed at me for wanting to put money on the Cowboys game this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and, you know, quite honestly, with Jared Goff, I loved him coming out of the draft, but I always knew, because that was the Dak draft, I was like, he's too high up for the Cowboys. He's going to be gone before the Cowboys get a chance to get him. But I said, you know, when it comes to 20-yard throws, I thought he was the most accurate quarterback coming out from that group. And over time, it's proven that he did need a little bit of that, you're the guy. But he did a little bit of it himself. Whenever he got to Detroit, you know, the first season, he went through it, and he was kind of like, meh. But then in that next offseason, when everybody was doing their training camp stuff, they were like, all right, we're going to give you some rest. And he was like, no, I need to be in the huddle with these guys. I need to gain their respect. If I'm going to be a leader of this team, I need to show why I'm the leader. And I don't know how much of that was Dan Campbell sitting in with them and talking to him about leadership, or if it was just him in the offseason going, look, I can do all these other things, but this is something I need to work on. Whatever it was, it's worked out for him, and he's got a bunch of dogs around him. And that's the other thing, too. Whenever you have a team that has a St. Brown, a dude who is mentally like, I'm going to be better than you no matter what, I might be a little smaller than you, but I'm going to take you down. He's that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And then you add the toughness that their offensive line has. You get a really good team. I do have concerns still about their health overall.
Absolutely,
on the defensive side of the ball. But
they are so beat up. So beat up to the fact where I don't know if anybody else out there had this, 877-881-1053, when you were growing up. In kindergarten or first grade, we had book buddies.
Okay.
And it was just fourth grade students that would come in. I think it was like every Friday at the end of class, and they would read a book to us. My book buddy, when I was in kindergarten, is playing defensive tackle for the Lions now. And he's bounced around. It's not an indictment on him at all, but he's been a practice squad guy on the Seahawks roster. They had to sign him from the practice squad and bring him over because they have had so many injuries on that defensive line, and now he's actually getting a chance to play meaningful snaps in a playoff run for the Detroit Lions when he probably thought he was going to be on the Seahawks roster all year. He gets poached, and now he's playing meaningful football at a premier position in that Aaron Glenn defense.
The other game that I think is, there's two other games I find really interesting this weekend. Chiefs Broncos might look like a what are you talking about game, but the Broncos are treating this like their Super Bowl because they know they have to win. Cortland Sutton's already come out and said, look, man, I don't give an S who's on the other side. We're playing the way that we play. They need this win in order to make some things happen to look pretty good here. And I'm very interested to see if the Chiefs are one of those like, you know what, we're going to take some extra time off. I'm always fascinated by the teams that say we're gonna take a week off at the end of the season but also have a week off during the playoffs. But in order to have Mahomes' ankle and maybe completely healthy, that might be a nice idea there. But this Broncos team, I think, has really surprised a lot of people, surprised me. I thought that Bo Nix looked better in preseason. I was talking about him a lot during preseason. I was like, man, he's really grasping the Sean Payton offense. He understands what he's supposed to do. And I knew their defense was good. I just didn't expect their offense to be able to be as good as it has been. But I'm very interested to see what this game turns out this week as well.
It's going to be weird because Carson Wentz versus Bo Nix, again, not on my bingo card for any season ever. But, you know, one, you mentioned Cortland Sutton. He is 82 receiving yards away from maxing out his receiving yards bonus.
Oh, nice.
This season, so he'll get $2 million. So you can expect that Bo Nix is going to try to feed him. But on top of that, Denver has blown my expectations out of the water in pretty much every way possible. That defense has been so, so good for them. A bunch of guys that, honestly, the casual football fan has never heard of coming out to play. You know, guys like Cody Barton have been really good for them. But their offense, you mentioned Bo Nix and the Sean Payton system. I've said for a while now that Sean Payton was one of the most, if not the most, overrated head coach in the NFL once Drew Brees kind of started showing his age a little bit. But I think he found his perfect pairing.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is crazy enough to work with Sean Payton.
And he can run, which is a little like what he liked with Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't have to replace his quarterback with Taysom Hill and take the arm part away from it.
Exactly. He doesn't have to burn a roster spot on some sort of, you know, phantom utility guy that you have to give a phantom $140 million contract or whatever it was to keep him on the roster and give him a million void years on top of that. But the way that roster was constructed going into the season scared me. I didn't think it was talented enough, kind of like we talked about with the Cowboys in a lot of different positions. Just didn't think they were good enough. They have played so, so well.
The last game that I'm pretty interested in is Buccaneers Saints. Baker Mayfield, his whole story arc here is pretty interesting, and to see them maybe slip in get something here at the end would be pretty cool to cap that off because. When he was at OU, I wasn't a huge fan of his. Then he goes to Cleveland, and I just felt he got, you know, again, as the number one overall pick does, probably got shafted there. Got given a raw deal. But he found his way around and finally, again, goes to McVay, learns how to play quarterback, and then lands on the team with the Buccaneers. And was like, all right, I see the game differently. It's finally clicked for him. But, man, when it comes to Mike Evans, I just think – dude's so underappreciated. I want to continue watching as much Mike Evans as I can.
Yeah, he's one of the best that I've ever gotten to see. He's so wickedly consistent, and he goes about the game the right way, too. Like, he's got to be the head coach's dream number one receiver, star player in general, the guy that you know he's going to win his matchup 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, and he's going to say all the right things, do all the right things, because there was a period in time where I was clamoring for him to take the Damian Lillard approach and say, you know, stop being humble, guys. Stop being, I want to win for this city. Go get you a ring. Mm-hmm. They will honor your request for what you have done for that city, and there will be a dozen contenders or wannabe contenders that would give up a lot to have you on their team. Kansas City Chiefs, a Buffalo Bills who went out and got Amari Cooper at the deadline this year. Like, there's plenty of teams that would have made sense, but he saw it through. They got Tom Brady. He gets a Super Bowl. Yeah. They bring in Baker Mayfield immediately after, and he's on the cusp of throwing for 40 touchdowns this year. He's already surpassed that all-purpose touchdowns.
The you talking about incentives for Courtland Sutton just a few minutes ago. Mike Evans also has an incentive. He'll get an additional $3 million if he gets 85 more yards and 5 more catches. So you know he wants to get that, cash that check there. Jamar Chase, I do believe that if he does get that triple crown, oh, that's not necessarily an incentive. That's just incentive to go out there and play awesome. Geno Smith, he could earn an extra $6 million if he gets $2 million apiece for the top numbers in his career, along with if he gets 10 wins. So if he gets his 10th win, he gets 186 more yards and keep his completion percentage high enough, he could get an extra $6 million. So this game would be one of those like Ted Williams type games where he's like, I have met my numbers. Please take me out of this, maybe. I don't know exactly how that's going to land.
Shout out Cam Ward.
Yeah, and then Tony Pollard. Congratulations to him. He needs 83 more yards to go over 1,100 for the year, and that would get him an extra $250,000. So congratulations to Tony Pollard. Hopefully he can square that away. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the Combo Platter. Yes, it is weird. It is J.R.R. Tolkien Day. So give us your sports opinion and your favorite author. And then we'll also have AM on the FM next on The Fan. We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Burleson's Buffalo Wild Wings, and it's a packed house here, baby. Love it. Love seeing everybody in here having a good time. A lot of Tolos that have made the trip with us all over DFW. We really appreciate them. I think there are about three or four groups of people that have made every single one of these events this year. There's some new faces to see as well. I like to see those. Mm-hmm. So this has been an awesome tour this year. Last year was the first year we did this with Buffalo Wild Wings and Miller Lite, and it looked really awesome. It was really nice to see. This year it's grown even more, and we're really happy and proud of what we've done this year. So we're looking forward to hopefully many more future events as we have Tolos running through all day long. We do want to remind you also, it will be the combo platter in just a moment. So text in your sports opinion and your favorite author, because it is J.R.R. Tolkien Day, the writer of The Lord of the Rings. This is the day where you're supposed to cheers to J.R.R. Tolkien and say, hey, thanks a lot, man, for writing the books that we read. And then tell us who your favorite author is and give us your sports opinion. We'll wait on some of those texts, but while we're waiting on that, don't forget next Thursday, the Rangers Winter Caravan Tour presented by Coca-Cola is kicking off in our fan showroom. That's right, right there at our station. Tolos are welcome to stop by. They're going to have free Whataburger for everybody to enjoy while it lasts. Awesome Rangers giveaways, and it starts at 6:30. Actually, at 6:30 is when they will start autographs from Marcus Semien, Cody Bradford, and Matt Festa. So you'll have a big-time name, Marcus Semien and Cody Bradford, getting after it there. Free autographs, and then the guys are going to hang out with Jared Sandler on the fans' 2025 debut of Rangers Hot Stove. That'll be from 7 to 8 p.m. So huge night for Tolos next Thursday in our performance showroom. That's 4131 North Central Expressway. 75204 is the zip code on that one if you ever need it. But it is one of the many ways that we get to thank the best listeners in DFW for being awesome like you are. If you're a big-time Rangers fan, you do not want to miss this. So come on out and enjoy your time with that. Now it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the combo platter. And there have already been some texts, which I really appreciate. They already rolled some in. I can't read that one, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to roll that one out there. From the 682, Cowboys will win the Super Bowl next year, and my favorite author is Todd McFarlane. Here's the thing. I don't know all the authors, so I'm going to have to go look up some of these authors.
How dare you?
I know one of them that somebody texted in. All right, Todd McFarlane, or McFarlane, looks like he's involved with Venom. Yeah, Canadian Amazing Spider-Man creator. Yeah, so there you go. He's got Spawn. He's got some of that action going on. So that's comic books or graphic novels, as some people like to call them. Are you a comic book reader, Alec?
I was more so when I was a kid. I definitely collected them, went to the local comic book stores all the time. I want to get back into that because when we were out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Left Bank last week, after the show, like 10 minutes down the street, there's a fully Star Wars themed toy store. And every time I go there, they have a bunch of like graded comics. And I'm like, what is stopping me from getting like three of these and starting a collection right here, right now? What is stopping me? Absolutely nothing. And have I done it yet? No, I haven't. But yeah, one of these days I will. I used to be huge on that stuff. So that's a good vote right there because I need to get back into that.
I was always a big X-Men Wolverine reader. Yep. When I was younger. But I was a big Superman fan. I never got into Batman like everybody else.
Me neither.
I enjoyed Batman. I liked their movies and I liked the cartoons. I just never was a reader of the comic books, but I was always a Wolverine guy. From the 214, it's Jagon and Terrell. My Broncos get in the playoffs with a win. That's what they're looking forward to. That is their prediction. And their favorite author, Ernest Hemingway, Old Man in the Sea, for whom the bell tolls. All those Farewell to Arms. Yeah, Ernest Hemingway, dude could drink and also write. He really enjoyed both of those.
What a guy.
From the 930, this is from Timothy Zahn. Mahomes is the best player, but was not a Pro Bowl snub for this year. You can't just say snub. You have to remove someone. Timothy Zahn, I'm sorry, is their favorite author. But, yeah, I agree. He's not a snub. He wasn't the best quarterback in that group this year. I mean, his team had the best record, but he did not put forth the best quarterbacking out there for Pro Bowl purposes.
And you know what I totally forgot about, and it makes me hate the Pro Bowl even more, is that it is similar to other pro leagues where that stuff can actually help them trigger more money in their contracts for rookies. On rookie deals, I know that for the fifth-year option, there's an escalator for if you make the Pro Bowl a certain amount of times. So there's some certain guys like forgetting his name, the corner for the Kansas City Chiefs that never gets enough love. He's on a rookie deal, and he has never made a Pro Bowl. But if he were to make a Pro Bowl, his fifth-year option, each time he makes it goes up like $3 million.
Oh, wow.
So these guys actually have incentive to get voted in by the people, which makes me hate even more the fact that it is a popularity vote.
Yeah, I guess I would, if I'm a player and I know that the popularity vote's a thing, I'm doing something to ensure that I'm in front of the eye more often.
It's McDuffie, the corner. Yeah.
Oh yeah, McDuffie, Trent McDuffie. If I'm one of those guys, I'm treating it like a campaign for the presidency. You know,
yeah.
I'm saying, hey, I want to go visit. I want to go tour. I want to see people. I want them to know who my name is. Get me on TV on Fox. You know, get me on TV on all these big time games. I want to be the pregame interview so that people know. Just like Jordan Lewis winning his award yesterday with the media. Jordan Lewis has been the same dude since he got here.
Sure.
Nothing changed this year from last year. It's just that this year he was asked to step up a little more in the conversation.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I love what he said yesterday. Man, listen, I don't think you're going to find a bigger Jordan Lewis fan than me. Maybe Jordan Lewis, all right? Other than that, it's me. Like, and he's not one of those guys that's like, I'm a big fan of me. That's just not his personality.
Yeah.
But I just love the way he attacks the game. He's had some tough times injury-wise, but he battled through it. The way he plays, the way he looks at it, the way he sees it, I just love it so much. So, like, that him getting that award, big deal. But, again, he might not have gotten that had he not been in the face of the media so much this year. So, if I'm those guys, and that's a rookie thing, right? That's a rookie mistake, probably.
Yeah.
I should have probably invested a little more myself.
There. Sure. And there's a lot of teams that do a really good job on social media of promoting that stuff, too, like the Chargers. I will forever say that they have the best social media team in pro sports. I don't care what it is. They do the goofiest bits and stuff, but they get their players in front of so many people's faces that they just become fans of the player for the goofy stuff they do off the field.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge Justin Herbert guy just because of the antics off the field with the social media team where he's just so reserved and so short with them, and it's a bit. Like, it's a total gimmick. Like, he's not that quiet in real life, but he's just so short with them and everything, and then all they have to do at the end is put hashtag Pro Bowl vote Justin Herbert. Like, that's all they have to do, and people are like, that's my kind of guy right there.
Yeah, exactly. Just find out what niche it is for you, man. Whatever it is that fits, for sure. Do you have your combo platter set up? I know. Look, what'd you get, by the way, over there from Buffalo Wild Wings?
Got me some boneless lemon pepper wings because, you know, I would go bone in. That's my typical forte. But you know, trying to do the radio thing at the same time, I was going for convenience to where I can try to, you know, eliminate half of them during one break, and the next break eliminate the other half and the rest of the fries, and then I'm set for the rest of the show.
And now you're learning that ordering around noon is a bad idea because we got the expressway and there's 40 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk. Mm-hmm. While your food's just sitting there wanting to be eaten.
I'm a Friday football feast noob. I'm a rookie. This is only my second time ever. I'm still learning the tricks of the trade. I should have asked you for all your advice and all of your experience. You're a seasoned veteran, second season doing this now. You know, so
order early is always my suggestion.
I should have done that. But my combo platter for today, sports opinion. I think because of how weirdly he navigated some of our questions, I don't think Mike McCarthy's coaching this team next season.
Really?
I don't.
Wow.
I've stood firm on this. I've said it on our program. I've said it on other programs in other states and other cities that I've been firm at 5% that Mike McCarthy's coming back, and that's just based off of the way that Jerry's answering our own questions, the way he's answered other people's questions, and the way that, you know, you've seen some of the other media members even kind of react to some of this stuff. Like, I was amazed after his Tuesday interview with the morning show that a lot of the Cowboys media locally seemed to think that was like a kiss of death. And I was like, I didn't take much from that. And they're like, that kind of pushed me closer to I'm like, huh. And a lot of those people have been around Jerry way longer than I have. So I'm like, y'all can probably read the keys better than I can. So I'm going to say that I don't think he's coaching this team based off of his interview with us this morning.
Wow. It didn't sway me much either way this time around, just because I've kind of been, like I've said, the entire time I've been like, all right, I feel like he's going to be back because I just don't think that Jerry wants to go through the entire process of it. I really don't think he wants to go through that. I think he feels like this is a quality coach. We don't have any real conflicts with each other other than this was a bad season and it was his last season and we needed his best effort. Now, did they give him the best tools for it? If he moves on from Mike McCarthy, in my mind, it's two things. One, I'm admitting that I didn't give him enough. Two, he didn't get us to where we said we were going to go, and that was beyond into the NFC Championship game at least. Those are the two factors that I think stand out there for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to bring him back. There's a lot of reasons to let him walk because of the microscope that this team is under, and the expectation versus the reality doesn't always match up. And like you said, I agree with you that I don't think Jerry wants to go through that again, but He tells us every now and then when things aren't going right, he's
zag.
The one. Yeah, he says, hey, you know, like, I don't got a lot of time to figure this thing out. So he'll be the first one to tell us that randomly on a whim. And we're like, oh, yeah, like the mortality of it comes into where he says, I can't afford to run it back and get the same result. I need to try to make change, even if it might not be the best option out there. And that's why when I asked him if the available options outside of McCarthy alter that decision-making process, and he just straight up said no. To me, that wasn't a resignation that we're keeping the coach because of the options. That was I'm either okay with the options or I don't care about the list of options out there. It's time to make a change.
Yeah, those were two solid questions there, man.
Thanks, man.
What about your book? You're about your author guy. Who's your writer?
I hope this isn't a cop-out because he's not like a legit, like,
Mickey
real
Spagnuolo.
Author. Yeah, Mickey Spagnuolo.
Makes sense,
of course,
man.
Love his articles on Cowboys.com. No, for me, it was because I haven't done too much reading of a physical book here recently, but during the pandemic, I read a ton of books because there wasn't much else to do. And that was also a time where, like, I had lost my mom and everything, so, like, there was a lot of learning to be done on my end. Tony Dungy, he wrote a devotional book. Coming from somebody who, you know, doesn't do a whole lot of religious reading, more just practicing, not a lot of reading of it. A friend recommended it to me and said, you know, you're a sports guy and I don't even watch sports, but Tony knows his stuff when it comes to this stuff. And it just kind of kept me going through the pandemic and stuff. And I keep that book actually in the backseat of my car.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case, you know, in the morning. You know, after that drive to work, you're like, not really feeling it today. Even though it's a few years old and I've already read it probably two or three times. I'll flip to whatever the date is in that book, and I'll read whatever the prompt he wrote is for that. And some days, more than others, I need it. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I'm having a good day. I want to read it. I want to see what he had to say to be thankful for today. But Tony Dungy, I've had the chance to talk to him once. Sweetest man ever. He's a true man of faith and everything. And it's a book I've been meaning to recommend to Bassick, too. But, man, he knows how to make you feel a lot better about your situations. When you think you've hit rock bottom, he's like, nope, there's a million other ways you could be doing worse. So I really like stuff like that. And then outside of that, I'm a big autobiography guy, whether it's entertainment, sports. I just love when people who have accomplished a lot and seen a lot of things sit down and detail it a lot. Like, I really want like a refreshed, like a Eric Nadel experience. I want, I want CA to write a book. Like, I just, I want to be able to read some of those stories and be able to go back to some of those things. But one of my favorite autobiographies ever was by Joe Buck, you know, detailing the battle of people just labeling him as Nepo Baby and having to make his own voice and make his own name, even though his last name is already synonymous to a lot of great moments in sports history. The way that he details that, and he's open and honest about, I needed to get hair plugs. You know, like, that's how he starts off. Yeah, he starts off with that.
Yeah.
Like, he addresses the rumor right off the rip at the beginning of his latest book. He's like, yeah, I had to go get hair plugs because I look in the mirror and I hate what I see sometimes.
And
I am super self-conscious, yes. So now I'm addicted to just looking refreshed and looking clean. And he's like, I sit next to a Hall of Famer that, you know, he's aged very well too, so I got to match his aesthetic too. So I love stuff like that, just really detailed stories.
The that is wonderful. When I was growing up, it was always biographies was what I would grab. But it was like Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Earl Campbell. I wanted to know their stories of who they were. And I continued to gravitate towards stuff like that. Autobiographies are a great way to hear what their voice has to say, though, for sure. For me, this might be hot take guy, all right?
Oh, no.
But sports opinion, I don't think the Mavs are going to win another game until Luka comes back. Now, listen, that's just because that's because they're just not playing well right now. All right, like tonight, I'll do a qualifier. If they win tonight, they could change my mind. All right, about what I just said. Maybe I'll admit
riding
that
the
I was
fence,
wrong.
I see.
Yeah, but no, man, the team just doesn't. It isn't swinging the right way at the moment. I'm sure it'll fix itself pretty quickly. Kyrie can get things turned around pretty quickly, but health is going to be a thing. Mike gets really concerned about this. I'm not so much. I think Jason Kidd sees this as the playoff and championship run is a grind. And I think that Mike gets caught up a lot of times in, you need to be the best during the regular season, whereas they're like, well, championships define us. And championships are really what's going to define Luka's career. Not so much, I mean, MVPs might, but the championships are going to be the thing. And I think Jason Kidd plays this as, you're going to have a couple weeks where this guy gets some rest, a couple weeks where this guy gets some rest. But throughout the season, this load management idea is really to make sure and ensure the last 20 games of the year, we ramp up to the playoffs. And then we take that playoff grind and we fight and battle through that. That's what I really think this is all about. So again, it might have been hot take guy, but Luka is a huge factor in what they're doing. And the opponents they've lost to, I didn't foresee some of these losses along the way. My author is Stephen King. Now, Colby introduced me to Stephen King a long time ago when we were working nights, and he was reading the Dark Tower series. And since then, my son has bought him the entire Dark Tower series, and on his own, he bought The Stand and It, which those books are as thick as this baseball card album that we have in front of us already.
Yeah.
But when I ran through the Dark Tower series, that was the only series of books, which I've read plenty, but the only series of books that had me going, I can't wait to get to the next one. And I can't wait to get to the next one. And every time I would get done with it, I would immediately go to the library. Because I was like, I'm not buying these books, but I'll get them from the library. I have a library card. So I went and I would get them from the library and I would read them as fast as I could. And then I finally got to the end. And when I closed the book, I laughed at myself and said, you son of a bee, Stephen King. I thought it was a wonderful series. And then everything I've read, like it made me, like, I missed the town.
Yeah.
You know, the way he built this town, every time I would get done with the book for whatever I was reading for that day, I would think about the town that they were in. And and what they're doing. You know, and I was like, that's a really weird thing, but that's what he captivated me in that way. So Stephen King's done that. And then Shel Silverstein. Because look, man, books are great. Poems are a lot of fun, especially if you can write them the way he does. So I always love me some Shel Silverstein to go along with it. And then somebody said they forgot about Dr. Seuss. Jagon said, don't forget about Dr. Seuss. Plenty of text coming in right now for the combo platter. But it is time, ladies and gentlemen. Turn it over to Alec Medford for AM on the FM. Oh, does he have it? Does Kevin Walker have...
Hold on. I'm on it.
Oh, here we go, Kevin Walker. This is your chance.
This is your true test.
Best of luck to you as you find out what this button does on the fan.
At Buffalo Wild Wings.
At Buffalo Wild Wings in Burleson. And if you want me to give you the address and location another time, it is 12832 South Freeway in Burleson at Buffalo Wild Wings. Kevin Walker, how are we looking back there?
Right now.
Not so good, it sounds like.
I tried to time it up.
Alec, go ahead and take it away, man.
There it goes. Do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
There's a lot of people here at Buffalo Wild Wings that can't touch the dial because they're here taking a load off with us. I know Bassick isn't here to do Mike Likes It, but if you feel the urge to take a load off, please do. 877-881-1053, the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or you can just pull up out here in Burleson and come tell me your answers in person as Corey's actively taking a load off. You can see it on the fan cam. I don't know if that's illegal. But Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well for the question of the day. It's hard to follow up a great combo platter like that that got a lot of people to think, got me to think, because I haven't thought about authors in a while. So I'm going to make it a lot easier of a question because my brain can only handle so much. We'll get to that here in just a second. And we're going to run some sound for you, too. Charles Barkley continues to be a national treasure. You're going to hear from him dunking all over J.J. Redick here in just a moment, but the question of the day is going to be based off of tomorrow's holiday. According to National Day Calendar, of course, I cannot confirm nor deny that these are real holidays, but you know, nationaldaycalendar.com says that they are, so I'm going to assume that they are. And if you look at tomorrow's national holiday, since you know it's a weekend, so we won't be here, tomorrow is National Play Outside Day. That's the first Saturday of every month. So, that's news to me. So, I'm going to ask everybody out there, all the Tolos, 877-881-1053, what is your favorite outdoor activity that you like to do to perhaps take a load off, if you will? Because for me, there's a few different things. I'm very much an outdoorsy guy, unless it's like wintertime, like now, and it's cold. I'm scared of the cold. I hate it. You know, just really? Make up your mind. Yeah, like you can't be sunny and 30 degrees outside. That feels criminal.
That is Texas.
Yeah, that feels wrong. And, you know, I've been living here all 23 years of my life, and I still am not used to it.
Next week's about to scare your whole life then, huh?
Yeah. I saw some of the graphics from the different news outlets, and I saw Dan Brunoff sending us those emails saying,
sunny
hey.
And 20 degrees.
Yeah, like, what was it? Like, Sunday, it's going to be like, it starts off 60 degrees is the high, and then Monday it's going to be like a low of in the 20s. It's like, what are we doing? So I'm not looking forward to that, and that's when we got to go back to work. So not looking forward to that, but it is the life we chose, as Jerry Jones said to us a few weeks ago. So I like to run. Distance runner, that's a way that I take a load off mentally, because it's just a great release. Ruben can attest to that, too. A little after we met and started working together, he got into the runner's life and realized how much of a release that is. Like, it's great whenever you have, like, a tough day at work or something, or you got some pent-up, you know, aggression. You're just, you know, bad week. You go out and run as hard as you can, and then you look at your watch and see the time you did it in. You get that runner's high. There's people that have combated me on the fan text saying it's not a real thing.
It is real.
It is very real.
Yeah,
it is 100% real. But even if you don't necessarily do as good as you hoped, you're just like, I finished the job. Mm-hmm. Like, I completed my goal for the day. It's the same as, like, going to the gym whenever you have a good lift. It's just like, I did what I set out to do, and I'm proud of myself for that. Outside of that, I love going on walks at sunset. Ooh, like, that's my favorite part. Because I live over by Joe Pool Lake. So I get some really incredible sunsets out there in Grand Prairie. Oh, my gosh. Like, a couple of nights ago, I was coming home, picked up some dinner for the family. I was crossing over the bridge on Lake Ridge Parkway over by where Prairie Lights is every year for Christmas. And it looked like a movie scene out in the water. It was just beautiful. I was like, I could get used to this. I could stay here the rest of my life, and I would be so happy. So any kind of sunset, sunrise viewing, I like to send Kevin Hagelin pictures of it because he knows that those are the best thing ever, and he enjoys getting sent those. So while he's out, tweet him those sunrise and sunset pictures. He's a big fan of those, Corey. He's a really big fan of those. So
one of the times when I was younger, I got mad at Adrian, and we weren't married yet. We were just dating, but I was so mad at her. That I'd had a dream that we were running at White Rock Lake and that I pushed her down a hill and she rolled off into the ocean. Or it was a lake, but, you know, the ocean. All rivers meet the ocean. And so, like, that had happened in my mind. But it was a couple days later, I did go to White Rock Lake, and I was so mad I just took off running. And I got halfway around the lake, and I finally stopped. And I was running just as hard as I could and got stopped. And I was like, whew, all right. And I looked across the lake, and I could see my truck. And I was like, oh, crap. I can either turn back around and go the other way or just keep going. And so I just decided to run the rest of the way around the lake that day. And I was like, that was a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
That's a big time. I think it was like 14 miles or something like that. And I was like, I'd never done anything like that in my life. But you're right, man. You get to find some places where you can go to see some great scenery. That's why I love our trips out to Oxnard. Oxnard has some gorgeous beach views, some other areas that are great. Arizona does, too. We've been really lucky to experience some of those. And I think it's a great way to see a city. You know, you want to go navigate a city and learn a little more about it. When you travel there, go run around a little bit, and you'll find something out.
That was my favorite
part.
I'm
more of a walker now, but...
Yeah, I mean... When it's cold outside, I'm more of a walker, too, and people will fight me on that, too, because I'm still asthmatic, even though I run a lot. You know, that doesn't go away.
That's not fun.
And the cold air gets very hard to breathe sometimes, so it makes me uncomfortable, and I say it all the time. Call me crazy. I would rather run when it's 99 degrees outside versus when it is, you know, 40. Like, that's how much I disdain the cold. It's not great. But from the Frankel Injury Attorney, text on your favorite outdoor activity. But let's see. From the 972, grilling and drinking.
That's it right there.
That's it. When you roll out either the smoker, the grill, or the Blackstone, you know, and you're cooking up some good stuff, man, there's nothing like it, especially during the summer. Like 4th of July, we always do like a big feast at the Medford household where the Blackstone's involved, the smoker's involved for a brisket of some sort, and the grill is being used for something. Like all three things are being used at once, and it's like a big juggling act. It's amazing.
I heard Sean one day, because I am a Tolo, I listen to the station all the time, but I heard Sean one day say, maybe it was Choppy that said, your happy place is. But Sean was like, yeah, my happy place is my backyard. When I'm outside in my backyard in the pool, smoking, you know, something on the egg or the trigger or whatever, that's where I'm at my happiest. And when I heard that, I was like, that's me. I feel the same way. But I didn't have a pool. And I was like, so we had two kiddie pools. And I'm not lying. When I was a kid, I loved being in those pools.
Yeah.
And so I had two kiddie pools that I filled up like during COVID. And, you know, that's where I would spend all my days. When I wasn't working, I would go hang out in that little pool. And so when we moved and found a new house, I was like, I need a pool. I just need a place where I can go relax, you know, and do that part of life. And then that was, you know, I had a big green egg. So I enjoy that process of being out in the water. Even if the whole family's inside the house, I'll be hanging out in the pool, and then I'll hop up and go check the brisket or whatever we got cooking. But that is my favorite outdoor activity right there, is being by the pool and taking care of something on the grill.
Man, I know why Sean's backyard is his happy place. It's because it probably costed three times my net worth.
Thing is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, except for the part where he German suplexes me into his pool because I didn't get in fast enough.
I'm sure there was no vodka involved in that.
Yeah, maybe just some frozen margaritas.
Yeah.
You know, that might have been the case there. I did see – there was a really interesting one that I just lost. I will find it. Here it is. From the 561, scuba diving is my passion. Over 80 dives completed, max depth of 132 feet this past May at the Sea Tiger Wreck.
Whoa.
That's a flex.
My I had a friend who his whole family was scuba divers, and they would have to do tests at White Rock, I believe they said one day.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you doing it in that thing? I think your body's gonna melt. But they would like have to swim squares, and they would have to swim these little perimeters, and
yeah.
that was part of their test. It was wild to see that. But scuba diving, I love swimming. I don't know how I feel about being that deep underwater, though.
Yeah.
That feels so deep to me. That's never mind.
That scares me, and go ahead and mark that.
Yep.
That scares me, too. The idea of being so far underwater, especially after what happened when a bunch of rich people got on something that probably wasn't safe and didn't make it back up, you know, that happens on occasion, too. The idea of pressure being built up on you in that manner is terrifying to me. Like, it's like your body is not made to handle those things. That's why we walk on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live underwater. We are not Atlanteans. You know, this is human nature. We are made to be here in a Buffalo Wild Wings taking a load off. That's what we're meant to be doing. Before we get out of here, I do want to run this because I saw J.J. Redick say this a while ago. He made comments about inside the NBA's coverage of the league itself, and he said they're part of the problem with the NBA because they don't take the game seriously, and he basically said it's an entertainment act, and he was like, people like that and those people getting the TV time and doing what they do with it is not conducive for what the NBA is trying to do in terms of growing the sport. Well, they were running a highlight package that had nothing to do with the Lakers, but they got brought up, and Charles Barkley decided to go nuclear.
Was he just talking about folks on TV?
He said something about we're the reason people ain't watching this crappy product we got. That's JJ. Yeah, us. Like, we out there jacking up 103s a night. JJ, I don't know Jason Monroe. I don't know who that is, but JJ, you come for the king, you better not miss. I can get you, brother, because I got your Lakers games. You can't hide them flaws they got. You're just a dead man walking. They got rid of Frank Vogel, who did a good job. They got rid of Darvin Ham, who did a good job. But you came out there thinking you were going to change things with that same ugly girl you went on the date with.
64-51 was your halftime score.
Lakers
as we get
stink.
Back to the highlights. And Rudy Gobert.
Bro, he came in there thinking, I can make this thing work. Yeah, you can.
77-71.
Put some makeup on that pig.
Man, Lakers are pigs.
The Lakers stink, man.
Oh, man, okay.
Come on, man.
Tatum, by the way.
Yeah, he said you can put some makeup on that ugly pig, and it's still going to be an ugly pig. But he said you come for the king, you best not miss.
Man, I love a good the wire drop like that from Omar. That's always nice. But the that whole, like, I understand what he's saying. Somebody last night, though, they used this. I love it. It's one of my favorite new things. Somebody's posted that the streaming services lost like 23%. Viewing this year.
Huh.
And then somebody quote tweeted it and said, these streaming services are shooting too many threes. And that just cracked me up because everything can just be blamed on shooting too many threes now.
Yeah. We broke down the math of it earlier this week when you were out. Will and Mike had the numbers on it that, like, the analytics guys kind of figured out the league, right? They said if you shoot a certain percentage from three, you're not going to lose any kind of game. And the streaming services said, yeah, us too.
Yeah.
And look what happened. You don't get to own any of this content, but you're still going to watch it. Nope, it's going down.
They'll get you. That is great stuff. AM on the FM right there. That's Alec Medford out here at Buffalo Wild Wings handling up as he has done for the past 2 weeks, doing wonderful work, ladies and gentlemen. He's also about to give away a bunch of stuff and eat his food at the same time. So good luck to him on that. Coming up next, we'll dive into the C block just a little bit. There's been some chaos at the Major's house, and I just wanted to kind of give you an update on what's been going on around here next on The Fan.